You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
We're going to premiere a song from a newer band called Dead Torches from pretty much all over New Jersey. Great bunch of folks, really, really good band. This song is called Secret Invasion, which sounds like a comic book reference to me. You can tell that all this hanging out with Pat and Bob has really changed me. I'm proud of myself that I was able to pick that out so quickly. They should be proud of the impact they've had on me. The song is off their forthcoming single-sided 12-inch coming out on Hellminded Records in the fall of 2021. In the meantime, you can find them at deadtorches.bandcamp.com. Again, the song is called Secret Invasion. The band is called Dead Torches. Check it out.
Hiya, Fiza.
Hi, Ben.
You got any extra shots?
Sure, Ben.
Sleeves up.
I'm a Pfizer girl in a COVID world. I'm the classic mRNA-tastic 95%. There's no argument. Got no contagion with my vaccination.
Come on, Pfizer, let's go party.
With a mask on.
I like how you have to run through, like, you're like... You're actually, when you said you trained to be a pilot, I think you really are a pilot. You're like, I am engaging the record button.
Yeah.
Like, you have to run.
Listen.
Like, I am turning off the blah, blah, blah. Like, you literally go through each step that you have to take to record this godforsaken podcast.
You missed it before he opens his big manual, big booklet, binder.
Actually,
laminated
I'm watching
pages.
YouTube on how to do this the whole time that we're recording.
You're flying blind just hoping that it works
welcome
out.
To Axe to Grind. The Hardcore Podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom.
And you know what it is, everybody. We talk about hardcore music and things that hardcore kids may enjoy. I'm excited for today.
Same.
Same. It's going to be a good one. We got lots of good plans for y'all. Let's just get right into this part. Big shout out to our homies Closed Casket Activities.
Yes.
And To Live a Lie, two of our wonderful sponsors. Today, we're going to shine a light on our other two primary sponsors, Death Wish Inc. and Run for Cover Records.
I'm going to
give
a collective.
Where do we go?
Collective.
On.
Dun, dun, dun. Go on.
Heaven let your light shine down.
Good. That's it. That's what we're going to do. A little collective soul all over the... Yeah. I need a soundboard.
Yeah, I know. We need to work. That's 2022 goals.
Because horn is not always consistent. I don't really know when to do it, but I feel like I can make it more obnoxious if I just hit a button.
You really had a good run with the horn. I think we can get it
back there.
I think you can get back to that space.
There was like one person who was like, yeah, enough with the fucking horns, and he like lives and he pays, you know,
he's
lives
rent
in
free,
my head,
huh?
Rent free. It's just, I can't not think about that one person out there being like, wish his fucking asshole stop doing the horn.
No, thousands and thousands enjoy the horn. The one guy, and now you're getting on stage and it's like,
I've got to get it while we play. It's pretty great.
Pretty soon, Gorilla Biscuits is going to play a reunion show, and they're going to ask you to come out and just do the bum, 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 instead of their sound.
That would be great. I'd probably hit it more often than the people 100%. That they hire to do it.
Yo, very true. That seems like such a bad... Who's got it worse, the person who's getting hired or the band members of Gorilla Biscuits who are like, okay, can you play part? Yeah.
Really? It's honestly probably they grab the same kid to play the conch for 108, and the same kid to play the trumpet. Oh, does Sonny do the conch now?
Before Holy Name, like any show that he's at,
shit.
It's him. He's the go-to person.
I gotta learn.
But I mean, I think they bring like it's not like you know, maybe I'm wrong, but like when they're playing places, it's not like
They I'm not happening to be in the crowd with a horn. I think they hired. Well, or like the outsource.
Oh no, I think they might have a horn with them. And I'm pretty sure now we have a reason for Walter part two. This is it. We just have him on 5 minutes. Hey, so what's the deal with the horn thing? How does it work? And then, all right, thanks, Walter. Later.
Like, do you ask your local friend, like, hey, you know anybody that plays the horns and can play the fucking Kentucky Derby thing?
Because I've seen them make the call out. Like, hey, anyone going to the show who can play
somebody in every town was in high school band. In every town.
But here's my thing. Walter is so fucking talented. At this point, he can.
Oh, sure. Already.
Yeah, but he's got to be ready to do. You know what I mean?
That's true. It's true.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yo, here's the thing. At this point, after all this time, like, yo, what's Siv been doing during COVID? All right, audio engineers out there, please clip this part. Siv, we hope that you've enjoyed your time off during COVID and that your family's healthy. Everyone in your world is good. We think you should know how to play the horn part by now.
I mean, there are two horns, though.
Step up to keep your rep up. I mean, yeah, so him and
Charlie, maybe?
Charlie, yeah, yeah, man. Come on, let's get it. Signed, everyone who likes hardcore.
Yes. Like, literally everybody.
That said,
sponsors?
Let's talk a little bit about Death Wish Inc. Patrick, kick us off.
Shout out to Death Wish for a De Beers style artificial scarcity of self-defense family Garfield shirts. They drop them periodically, and when they do, they sell through very quickly. I like that energy. It's fun, you know. Oh, by the way, unrelated to Death Wish, somebody just hit me about doing another. I guess when it comes, I'll announce. So self-defense allows people that listen to us to do charity shirts if they, you know, they just got to give the money to charity if it's a fun thing or whatever, and as long as it's nothing too fucked up. But I guess there's some football scandal going on and whatever. So I'll announce that. I'll try to get him some sales when that happens.
For the Help Mia
funds. I don't know. I just got a DM that was like, mind if I do these? And I said, he said, anti-racist charities. I said, sounds good. You don't got to, you know what I mean? Like, can't really go wrong as long as there's nothing too fucked up on it and the charity's worthwhile. Anyway, back to Death Wish, who incidentally has worked with me in the past to get money to places that are worthy. Shout out to every label that I've worked with in that capacity. A lot of them have funneled our money that we've asked to go to different charities. They've administered that, and thank you all. I just want to say there are other self-defense family shirts for sale. Still, some of our records are out there in the world. But Death Wish has just done some reprints on the shirts. Go to deathwishinc.com. Go to the self-defense family shirts. My personal favorite is, it's funny, yo. I'm going to just be honest about this. The ones with the island ones that have flags are on sale, yes, currently. I think listen, we just sold through a bunch of shirts. We're not cashed. It's not that nobody wants our shit. I really think that any type of like thing that could be perceived as nationalism is just fucking out. You know what I mean? So like flags are out for the time being, but there's still cool shirts. I urge you to pick those up on sale. And the ones that they've just put up include the masturbating death self-defense shirt, which is one of my favorites, art by Maddie Hinckley. So go pick those up and take a look at what else they got over there.
Which flags are you have? I mean, I feel like USA is the only one that's really kind of
not
great. Like, they're Jamaican.
Yeah, nobody beats with the Jamaican one. That's cool, but like once you get
right.
Scotland is a weird one in this like post Brexit era where people are just kind of like, I mean, punks in particular don't want to hear a fucking thing about your nation right now. You know what I mean? So now, granted, everybody who's listening, I don't even really acknowledge nations. I don't give a fuck. They're just design pieces because I was at those places. That's it. You know what I mean? Could have been anything. So moving forward, that's deathwishinc.com. Go.
Go. Tom, you're going to take us on a little trip to Run for Cover at runforcoverrecords.com.
Yes, they released a new single by an artist named Mini Trees.
Brand new Run for Cover band.
Yeah, and so far artist. It's just a single. Yeah, an artist, I guess. I think I like the kind of the lane that Jeff and crew are going to, like, are kind of taking. I think, you know, this is straight up pop music, which I have no problem with that. I think it's, I love pop. Like, good pop music is as good as anything to me. You know what I mean? Mm. Since You've Been Gone, like Kelly Clarkson, as good of a song as you've heard in the last 20 years. I don't give a shit. Fight me. At me. You can at me if you want to discuss the Kelly Clarkson Uber. So the single, it's kind of – we say this all the time, and I think – but I think it's true. Like, to me, music kind of evokes a lot of, like, seasonal stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? When we're talking about the berries, you're like, this feels like I have a cup of Sanka, and I'm looking out the window.
cold fall morning. Right. Yeah.
Right. Mini Trees is definitely summerish, not in like that bombastic when we're talking about Citizen.
Right. No, this, right. It's not Miami Nights.
Right. Citizen is like, I'm playing the fucking, you know, I'm right before fucking Biffy Clyro on like, you know, Leeds main stage.
Yes.
This is more like, you know, I'm at a bonfire, or like, I'm shopping and I found like shorts that fit, like that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's very poppy. It's very catchy. I'm a sucker for anything. If you put fake drums with actual instruments, I'm in. No matter what it is. It could be a drum machine and like an acoustic guitar. 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah. You got listen, customer,
and I don't know what
drummers get indignant about this, but I love some fake fucking drums.
Right, like the just like that, like kind of like a trip hop drum beat with like an acoustic guitar over it or something. I'm in. Yeah, I don't know why.
I'm rarely mad.
Love some fake drones. Yep, 3 of 3. So check out the new song "Spring" by the artist Mini Trees. Tom nailed it. Very warm weather, chilling. I like the shopping for some nice shorts. Got a nice pair, something like that. Very relaxed vibe. I actually put it on after spending 5 hours doing Axe to Grind research and was like in that, I don't know about this, and was ready to be like, bleh, cause I just spent 5 hours staring at a computer screen. But it felt good. I put it on, the sun was out. I was driving to run some errands. Perfect music. So
where do you think Mini Trees falls on the cargo shorts versus non-cargo shorts?
Non-cargo. Slightly too short.
I'm saying way above the knee. Way above.
You're seeing thigh. About,
yeah.
I think so.
So everyone's against the fucking cargo short.
Well, no. I just think the style. You know what I mean?
But I mean, I think in general, people are all against the cargo short, and I think they're very useful. They're utilitarian.
That's a fact. I can't deny that.
Maybe you keep a can of soup for your family in there in case you gotta use it.
I think the cargo short, and everybody, please go to runforcoverrecords.com. Support them. Thanks to everybody. We love our sponsors.
Jeff's got to buy cargo shorts. You got to give them, you know.
I think that it's really. I don't know a single person who denies the functionality of the cargo short. They're so functional. Throw some stuff in there. To be honest, I've go on record. I don't like to carry things in my hands, period. It's annoying. I've taken to having a backpack with me more in my adulthood than I did for many years. But that's mostly because I don't wear cargo shorts because my significant other said, I don't think you should wear cargo shorts anymore. I said, really? And she's like, yeah, just like, the way you look better in non-cargo shorts. And I said, all right. And unfortunately, her opinion matters on that much more than mine.
Yeah.
They're so functional. I used to be able to put whatever in there. It was like, because sometimes I wouldn't even want to put stuff in my pockets. Like I could throw it in those second pockets, man. That thing, those were great.
Right. Then it's as if it's not on your person.
Yo, it's mini backpacks by your knees. It's great. I love it. How you guys doing today? You feeling good?
Yeah,
I feel great. I've been keeping the money train rolling along.
Yeah, we're gonna save everyone from
to the moon.
We're gonna save everyone from blue collar Patrick, but he's been working at a mill.
Everybody, I had literally a 72-hour dalliance with actual work, and I decided it's not for me.
For the
dude,
birds.
I cannot wait for the Brian Fallon turn on your next record. He's singing about a girl named Maria, just like talking about your motorcycle. It's gonna be fucking
down
great.
At the New Amsterdam. Two quick questions for you guys. One is for both of you. One is more specifically for Patrick. So let's start with the one that's for both of you. Paper napkins. Are they the halfway point between toilet paper and paper towels?
Yeah, I think it's fair.
Tom?
Yeah, I think they're like the midpoint. Yeah, I would agree, tend to agree.
Do you use them or buy them in your house?
No.
Tom,
no,
you're more civilized. Paper. Yeah, you're more civilized than both me and Patrick. So
yeah, I mean, I'm not really trying to impress anybody, so I just go straight paper towel.
Yo, straight. Me too.
And it's more utilitarian because they're the cargo shorts of the paper product.
Yes.
Yo, you know, you spill something,
paper towel.
You grab a couple of, you know what I'm saying? A couple of panties, you're out the door,
dude.
What
I don't
are you
even
doing with paper, you know what I mean?
Paper like napkins. Yo, yeah. I don't even use tissues anymore. I just use paper towel. I can use it a couple times. It's fine. It's fine. My nose is certainly used to it. Whatever. Question number two. And I'll start with Tom and then we'll go to Patrick.
Oh.
Tom, have you seen the Godzilla versus Kong movie?
You know, I have not yet. Just I haven't watched that or the Snyder Cut. I've really been out of the loop.
I would like you to watch Snyder Cut because you've seen some of the other DC movies, right?
Yeah, they're pretty awful.
Yeah, but there's some redeeming stuff, and I think the Snyder Cut is so fucking long. It's unbearably long.
I mean, 4 hours is just
it's an investment, and I don't. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you to do it, but you'll enjoy parts of it for sure. I wish, yo, here's how bad it is. There's a part of me that wants to go, yo, I'm going to rewatch it and give you like some minute counts. Like, okay, here, watch the first 30 minutes, then skip ahead to an hour and 50. And watch the next 45 minutes, then skip ahead and watch to the end. But I don't even know if I can put myself through that. I mean, it was really long.
Do that? Yeah,
I know. I have also
watched Godzilla. Yeah, but it looks. I mean, it looks fun. But I also think that might be a movie I'd like to see in the theater.
I know. I haven't watched any of the others in this Godzilla Kongverse era, and
Godzilla,
I guess they're all.
No, I watched Skull Island, which was fun.
Okay.
They're fun. Like, they're not like.
Yeah, they're popcorn movies. You're going to nosh some popcorn, keep your brain off. It's like a good decompress. I look forward to watching it too. I'll give my review later. Patrick.
Yes.
Where are you at on the Godzilla versus Kong movie? And do you have anything you might want to add to our potential listenership or a specific potential listener?
Yeah, like how strong are your feelings on the Kong versus
this is Bob trying to mend fences between me and our occasional guest and friend of the room Brian Murray, who
friend
we got in a screaming
room.
Match at each other, and he didn't kick me out of his car. I said pull over.
Whoa, Tom! The story's always changing, isn't it?
The story's always yeah.
Walter, well, build the fence, mend the fence.
You didn't bring this up when we did a little pre-pro. Mm-hmm. You didn't mention necessarily the screaming or the like, let me out. Like you just had a fight.
No,
with your
I just
girlfriend.
Said, listen, you're acting irrational. I said, pull over. Whatever. Basically, Brian and I got on.
I've had this exact argument.
Got on each other. Not about
Godzilla.
Got on each other because I thought it was a poorly written film. He said, who gives a shit? I said, yeah, I guess who gives a shit, but for the amount of money that they paid the screenwriter, which is probably in excess of $1 million, they could have gotten a good script. So why the fuck not get a good script? This is not an apology anymore. But you wanted me to like be like,
why are you yelling at us now? We're going to pull this car over. I'm going to kick you out of this one.
So Bob wanted me to be like, Brian, come on. You're my homie. I love you.
I just want good radio.
Kiss
real
your forehead,
talk.
Whatever. But nah, he's still wrong. Fuck that. Keep it moving.
Is this Tom? Is this green eyes from Patrick thinking he could write a better Godzilla script?
That's what he accused me of. He said, "What are you mad?" You mad? You didn't write it? I said, "Yeah, that's really what I'm fucking on about." That's like
he's mad.
And guess what?
Big
every
set.
Time that my shoe wears through, I go, "Damn, I could have designed a better shoe than this." Yeah, every time the Challenger fucking explodes, I go, "Damn, I could have designed a fucking better space shuttle than this." Nah, that's not the way it is. It's just a
You're not a cobbler nor work for NASA.
No, but I also got nobody's hiring me to do screenwriting.
That's true.
I'm just a writer. Okay. But listen, there's no reason for Brian and I to be angry at each other. I'm not angry at him at all, but he's still wrong.
But I mean, he's not talking to you right now over Godzilla versus King Kong.
We're very passionate people.
So, all right. So you say, pull over, yeah. Let me out. Which, I mean, I feel like everyone listening to this has had this conversation with their partner.
Yeah.
Unless you've had a lucky love life.
No, everybody's had a car accident in their life. It's a nightmare.
You're right. And you got out and you're like, you know, and then now did he drive slowly beside you as you're like, I just need some time.
No.
Did he just like drop you off and be like, peace, and then leave you in Burbank?
He slowed down and I thought he was being like, come on, get back in the car. So I come up to the window and I'm like, nah, come on. I'm not mad at you, but I need, and he goes, I'm not pulling over for you. Fuck you. He let Eric out.
Amazing. Oh, so Eric gets stuck, has to go down.
Yeah, well,
you?
Eric was like, Eric says to Brian, well, he and I are going the same place. Like, I guess I'll just go with him. And so Eric gets out. But I thought Brian was slowing down to let me, to like be like, come on, man, get in. And he goes,
back in.
He goes, fuck you.
So now for you. That is fucking incredible. I love that, like, it would have been amazing, like, if, like, Eric would have gotten dropped off and, like, an hour and a half later you come in, like, sweating, like, fucking holes in your shoes that you had to walk home. Like, how far, I don't know, Burbank to West Hollywood, wherever you are, how far is that?
It would have taken me upwards of an hour, 2 hours probably. 2 hours, definitely. But ended up...
How long? Sorry.
Ended up taking an Uber.
What did it cost you?
The exact amount of money that Brian fronted me for the ticket... he's not getting that $16 back.
$16 Uber. All right. It's far enough.
That's the complete story, fellas.
Peace. All right. Good.
I love the idea of Brian driving alongside him on like West Sepulveda or whatever and being like, come on, man.
So, you know, I just called our friend Brian Murray.
Yes.
And muted myself here and said, hey, you want to come on live and holler at Patrick about this?
Yeah, no, he's going to stay mad for weeks.
I love it. He seemed to be in good spirits. Shout out to Brian Murray, one of my favorite guests we've ever had on the podcast. Shout out to Patrick. Shout out to King Kong. Shout out to Godzilla. Shout out to Tom. Let's fucking go. We're talking, yo, you know what? Who did I reference as the inspiration for today's episode? What successful music artist? Come on. Let's give him something to talk about.
Oh, Bonnie Raitt.
Boom. First question for both of you. Was Bonnie Raitt an attractive woman to you?
I'll go with...
Or was she just too old?
Yeah, she had big red hair, right?
Yeah.
My mother always told me that my first crush, like when I was like three, I'd wait at the windows of our house to watch the woman with red hair walk by. So I guess maybe, you know, sure, Bonnie Raitt.
All right.
Has that ever ended up in a lyric?
No, it's never too late though.
Yeah, he's starting to run dry. The next album's about working the tie-dye mill and Bonnie Raitt mailman.
They blew up the chicken man in Philly last night. That's the whole thing.
And who could write King Kong better? Me.
Right. For pennies on the dollar.
Yo, so the idea tonight is to keep it loose, but also to talk about stuff that maybe is worth talking about in hardcore, whether it's music or stuff that people don't pay attention to enough, or just ideas, concepts, topics, heavy, soft, all in between. I have a bunch of questions, as per usual. Would you guys like me to start off with kind of like an 80 mile per hour pitch, like something you could hit?
Yeah, why not?
Sure. Oh, before we start.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to thank everyone who did.
Please.
Did that like benefit shirt with Clumsy and with Death Toll Company. We ended up selling like a ton more than we were expecting. So thank you to anyone who supported it. They're putting the order now. We'll know exactly how much we're going to be able to donate once the shirts get made. They'll be to you like in like 4 to 6 weeks or something like that. But like, thank you, you know, to everyone who supported and reposted. And thank you to, you know, Bob for putting on the Axtragon thing and just kind of getting the word out there, because I think we're going to raise some decent money for some places, you know, some programs that could use the help. So I'm very excited. So thank you, everyone. And everyone who didn't share it, I see you too.
Yo, Tom is being modest. They sold a lot of these shirts. And I hope that you share the number if you feel comfortable. It's very not the number of shirts right now, but when you donate that money, that'll be really it's
yeah, we want it to be like fully transparent, like kind of you know how much it costs us to make and how much it, you know, we made hats, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, is this your is this a first Indecision hat?
We had yeah, I think we had a Brooklyn Brewery one that Justin used to always wear.
Okay. Oh, right, sure.
And Most Precious Blood was around during the unfortunate trucker hat era.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Fuck, I forgot. Yep. Oh, no.
So in 2002, we were moving fucking, I forget what, they used to call them like graders or something. There was some title that our buddy, I don't know if everybody knows him, Jeff Jock, used to like tour with us. And he'd have these names for products that would be like, what the fuck are you saying? And he'd be like, we're almost sold out of toques. I'm like, what the fuck is a toque? And that's a winter cap, yeah, like a winter hat. Yeah,
sounds like he spent too much time in Canada on that.
He's from Atlanta.
I know. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I know. And then he was like, I think they called him like graders or shredders or something, which were trucker hats.
Yes. Really?
Huge. Huge.
Well.
And I never got it.
No, trucker hats never really did for me. I don't mind like the part mesh baseball hats.
Low profile is the key thing there.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. It's a good look.
Is there a new drug charge single out tonight?
Why would you hear? I think it's actually out tomorrow.
Nick Acosta just texted me, new drug charge single out today?
Maybe it went out. I thought it goes out tomorrow.
I'm going to respond. Yeah, Pat doesn't know. That's because that's actually
the truth. Tried to look on what is it, Spotify, but Frog Church does not have a new single out. Drug Church, no new single up right now. So who knows? Maybe it's premiering somewhere.
I wonder if we could probably have a place that could premiere.
Well, we need someone to know where it is. So, you know,
that's true.
All right. So, yo, let's give them something to talk about.
Yes.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or, are they going to say it? Yes, vegan and veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. You can get chef prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring, maybe gardening. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. That is the type of meal I prefer. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Now, I'd like you to head to factormeals.com/axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. And use code axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. To get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's insane. That's code AXTOGRIND50 at factormeals.com/AXTOGRIND50. That's to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Crazy.
Pretty easy ones. Here to start off. Do fast hardcore bands or harder hardcore bands, moshier, heavier, kind of, do they get enough credit for the musicality or competency of what they do? Because I think they don't. Yeah.
No, I think, especially for fast stuff, like, that shit can go awry in a fucking second.
Yep.
Especially if you have a shitty drummer.
Like, it's off the rails.
Yeah, then it's garbage. And I think There's more to that. I mean, like something like, but when I think of that, I'm thinking more like almost like even power violence-y stuff.
Oh, well, that's my gist is here too. And it was vague, but I think a lot of times we give more melodic leaning stuff or stuff that's more, I don't want to say metallic, but technical or proficient where it's like kind of in your face.
Right.
And that sometimes the faster hardcore bands or the harder hardcore bands don't get enough credit for their musicality or competency in what they do. Because I think a lot of those, and we talk about it here and there. I think we try to be pretty fair, but I think about some bands, I'm like, yo, if Infest wasn't tight, that shit sucks. Like those songs suck, but they're tight and you can hear it in the way they record and it's just like everything's tuned right. So I don't think because of the like feelings that fast hardcore or moshy or hard hardcore generate, the go-to isn't, oh, this song's so cool. This is such a well-compositioned song. But I mean, we think about a band like Regional Justice Center, and that's something I would say about them for sure. It's something I'd say about a lot of bands.
They're changing that, though.
I think so.
I think they changed the kind of the view of that sort of music, that it's not just, you know, like four clicks, you know, and a blast, you know?
No, I hope so. Patrick, where are you at?
I think there's no way to tell with heavy hardcore. It's you're typically not allowed anything more interesting than like a solid lead. It's just not at all like it doesn't lend itself to great impressive playing. Fast hardcore, I don't think that anybody's getting. I mean, I'm also biased. I've been listening to Bad Brains all week, and I'm like, why aren't any bands this good? You know what I mean? And I'm not even like a Bad Brains super fan. I'm just like sitting there in appreciation of their ability to play fast. And you know, I don't think it's unfair to say, yeah, not too many people do it like this. So, I
mean, they're also. I mean, can you imagine, like, if you gave, you know, think of like the more talented folks around now. But you gave them like a 5-year head start of like, you're only going to listen to like weird jazz and shit.
Well,
like the Bad Brains had like a jump on people because they weren't listening to Motorhead only, like every other fucking punk and hardcore band. You know what I mean? They were listening to like fucking Mahavishnu Orchestra and they were literally all of the best at their instruments. Each, literally every member was the best you can find. And they just happened, you know, like. Two people that were brothers, like it just so happened that, you know, but I think that's what really sets them apart is just because they could have done anything and they happen to just,
and they would have been highly competent. No, I think that Bad Brains are one of the few bands who played fast, especially because, you know, people cite the early material because it is just so impressive and it's so massive. And they played fast in a way that was really impressive because they still had all that technicality, I think, in there. And it also sounded so different than even the other competent punk bands of the time. Like if you listen to Black Flag and you listen to Bad Brains, yo, let's just be really clear. All those players can really play their instruments. But what the Bad Brains were doing, is a little different, you know? And I think even fast forward, even newer stuff, even through the years, the bands who are able to play really fast, but keep it tight, keep that energy. And even in the songwriting, even in the composition of it, I don't know that they always get the credit they deserve. And it's something I want to be more conscious of on myself, because a lot of times, yo, when I hear a band playing really fast, I'm going into like berserker mode, not like, oh, let me think about the way this song's moving. Whereas if you put on a more like mid-tempo melodic band, you kind of are swishing around in the song a bit more, if that makes sense. Like you're sitting in it as opposed to being dragged by your shirt on coals. And I think that's kind of a weird thing that just became something that we do. It's the way we talk about stuff, not us, the collective we, you know, where melodic bands get labeled as talented or highly competent, or bands who do stuff like you just said it, Patrick, like, oh, some of the heavier bands, they get the lead, whatever. It doesn't always have to be about that. Like some of the songwriting elements are really impressive with these kind of bands too.
Heavy hardcore with, I mean, metalcore is an effort to bring some technicality to plain core music, but like heavy hardcore, I mean, there's a reason that people like still gush about like Mike DeJean, you know what I mean? Like, it's because it's rare, you know what I mean? Like, it's not common. I'm not saying that there's no talents in heavy hardcore. I think there's many. I just think it, as a style, it's almost like self-limiting in that respect. And that's, you know, that's okay, obviously. Like the,
well, let's stop there right there, because you keep saying heavy and I'm just saying harder stuff. So I'm not, if we want to go heavy, that's fine too.
I think
you're dismissing, even in exactly how I'm saying, I think you're dismissing the competency of being able to play these things. Are you saying it's inherently very simple to play heavy hardcore and thus the musicality deserves no note?
I'm saying, look, how much credit can we give something for operating in a very narrow bandwidth and not displaying any superiority in that just capability? I mean, look, these, everybody involved might be fucking okay. Here's a good example. I won't use his name because maybe this sounds like a slight diss or whatever, but like, we've got a friend who is very capable guitarist. He doesn't want to play ripping lead, sure. You know? He loves Youth Crew Hardcore, and that's all he wants to play. And, you know, like, look, like, so does Youth Crew Hardcore...
Are you taking another primary?
I would never say he could play. Youth Crew Hardcore probably has dozens of guys like that, guys who can just fucking shred if they chose to and are good songwriters. But, you know... It's like Youth Crew Hardcore and reggae. Can you think of two things that are more codified than those? Nah.
Well. So here's the question for you, because when you go to the edges of it, would you consider Gorilla Biscuits Start Today a Youth Crew?
We've talked about it, and I ultimately side with yes.
Yeah. Well, and I think they would, because they are literally all members of the Youth Crew. So there's an example of exemplary songwriting and obviously competency taking a form and doing a little more with it and kind of trying to keep some of the energy, but expanding and kind of sailing the wings. With that same notion, Youth of Today is about as simple fastball pitch music as you can get. While I won't say that on those records, the drumming's always precise. Otherwise, I think they write some pretty ripping tunes, and it's almost the simplicity is what they're going for. Like, if you listen to Judge and you listen to Youth of Today, you realize, oh, Porcel can play the guitar a little better than he can do more with the guitar than he does on the Youth of Today record. But that's not the point of Youth of Today. You know what I mean? The point is to be a vehicle for that energy. And to me, that brings up the question of like, well, what is the mode? What is the format? What is the template of what you're doing? What is it supposed to do for the music? And for that, I think Youth of Today does it pretty good.
And I'm with all of this, that like, if you can't be mad at something for perfectly fulfilling what it aims to be. I just think it can be hard to gauge who's good in that world. You know what I mean? Like,
if everyone's aiming lower than their talent, then it might be harder to say who's the best.
I mean, I think, for example, if you listen to that, you know, we would all agree that Never Ending Game, that record's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Right. It's hard. Mm-hmm. Right.
For sure.
If you actually listen to it, though, those dudes can play.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they have, like, the kind of skeleton is, like, the heavy kind of music. But, like, that guitar player is fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays, like, little tasteful things that kind of, like, you go, oh, all right. Like, now I see what you're doing. Like,
right.
You could have
hinting
made
at stuff. Right.
You could have made it just the, you know, the beatdown part, but you do these little accents that are like, oh shit. Like you can't just, you're, you know, those flourishes are really what kind of sets, you know, his playing apart and the band apart. And I think that's, you know, I think that kind of gets overlooked. If you really kind of have to listen to it to kind of be like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
No. Like, this isn't just the typical mosh part. There's a lot more to it, or like the build up to it. Like, there's all, like, they do a lot of really interesting things in there that kind of like low key show how, you know, how talented the band itself is.
I think that says it very well, is that they know what they want to do with the band, but at the same time, and you're not wrong, Patrick, when you say there's some self-limiting elements to this, just as there is for a lot of things. And, you know, obviously the genre of hardcore can be discussed and its breadth can be talked about, like what is or isn't hardcore, quote unquote. But like exactly what you're saying, Tom, they were like, hey, we want to write a heavy, hard record that sounds like X, Y, and Z, but we're also going to do these things and we're going to play this highly competently and do it well. And by the way, check these things out that end up being a signature in a different way, in a subtle way that doesn't change what we're doing. But if you're listening, you're going to hear that and you're going to tell, right, like, hey, this sets us apart. I think a great example of that too is Trapped Under Ice, Big Kiss Goodnight. One, clearly highly competent, like everyone on that, incredible player. Two, I think the songwriting on that record is pretty impressive. I think three, especially given at where they were at in terms of like being a band, it's their second full length, what are they going to do and what elements are they going to bring in to keep it fresh, they were able to achieve that and write arguably their best record, right? Like, yeah. No one's mad if you're saying Big Kiss Goodnight's the best Trapped Under Ice record.
I mean, most people agree.
So I just
don't even think about, like, yeah, like the Aram and like Posse Crisp, like,
yeah,
Betrayed.
Yeah.
It shows you, like, those players. I mean, also having Todd and Greg Bacon, like, yeah, band rips. But like, that could have been a simple band.
Very true. And there's a lot of elements to that. If you stripped it away, there's a group of 16-year-olds who are just okay, who could think they're doing a band that sounds like Betrayed. But then when you actually put it, you know, dollars to donuts, it goes, oh, actually, no, that's very different. What you're doing is very different. So,
right. It's like when that, like, that basketball player, like the college star or whatever, decided to challenge Brian Scalabrine to a game.
That's right.
And then lost like 15-0.
Yeah, because he's the worst basketball player in the NBA, still means he's better than 98% of humans. Fact. On the planet. You know,
exactly.
So I think it's interesting because we talk about hardcore as being a simple format, and it is, and we talk about it as being an inclusive, like, hey, you can just pick up a bass and join a band, or pick up a guitar and join a band, and that's encouraged, or just pick up a microphone and sing in a band. But at the same time, there's some really talented people out there doing really cool stuff all across the spectrum. And I think even in this small bubble, there's certain aspects where, you know, how many goddamn times have we talked about Trapped Under Ice on this podcast? And I don't think we've totally complimented the musicality, songwriting, and competency of it in the way we just did. Tom, you got us?
Yeah. This is completely not related to anything we just spoke about,
yeah,
but boop, 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 something that popped into my head. So, you know, we always talk about, like, you know, how to start, you know, booking shows in your area and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, you know, by the fall, you know, a lot of venues will be reopening, some won't reopen, whatever. Do you think this is kind of like a great time for, you know, as you told folks to, like, you know, like, go out to your local VFW hall or the local firehouse and see if they'll let you do shows? Do you think people are starving for that income, like, that now is the time to start kind of laying the groundwork to see if we can get back into those spaces?
Yeah, yes. I think there's – I honestly,
and, like, expand them and not just have this one place. You could be like, well, there's that VFW that said no the last 5 years, but like,
oh, dying. Listen, having dealt with desperate venues, 100% the whole tenor changes. Everybody, here's a fucking crazy thing. It's, Tom, you may know this from people you got to deal with, but I think Bob, the nature of the jobs that he's had, he definitely knows this. People that spit in your face 3 years ago, when they're broke, they're different. You know, like when they need you, it all is forgiven. You know what I'm saying? Like it's I love, we've got a number of agents that listen to this podcast. Shout out to the agents, you slime ball.
Shout out to the agents. Talk to one today.
Here's the thing. I love them. I love agents because you can't offend them. You can call them low life pieces of shit and they'll still do business with you. That's amazing.
It's all biz, bro.
See, but Tom, okay, let's talk about this real quick. Sorry to take us in so many directions. If you had a focus that I'm fucking totally derailing.
We got the core piece of Tom's and we're going to get right back to it, but go ahead and take us on this branch.
We deal with a number of people who can't let go of things. I'm talking about, you could be one. You could be one.
I mean, I keep a running tally.
I forgot for a moment to whom I speak, but here's the thing. There's a lot of people who can't get out of their own way by, and this is what I admire about agents. It's like, you know, like a good friend of two members of this podcast will call somebody a scumbag on the phone and say, if you ever call me with an offer like this, I'm sick of you insulting me, suck a dick, blah, blah, blah. And then a month later, we'll take the next fucking call from him and be like, well, how's your family?
Yeah. What's up?
that's so lovely to me. Like, Tom, to be honest, I'm more in your boat and I've had to train myself to try to think otherwise. Because today I listened to everybody, Cocaine and Rhinestones is a country podcast. I probably talked about it in the past. It's a fantastic podcast. Mm-hmm. One of the best going. Today I listened to how many times this one record label has been sold to the same three guys because they'll fall out with each other, sell their stake in it, blah, blah, blah. Then it'll go through three holding companies and then they'll buy it back. And it's just cause there's no, like at some point, bad feelings got to go away. You know what I mean? And you just got to be like, well, you know what I mean? I like doing that thing. It's the same way that like some people have been divorced for 3 years. You know, they find out that their ex-wife's mom got sick. They reconnect. Suddenly you find out they got another kid coming. You know what I mean? Like things just, once you got a relationship with people, even if it goes south, sometimes it comes back. So I'm always fascinated by that, but I took us in a direction.
So Patrick started in the right way. And he was saying exactly what you were asking, Tom. Is now a good time not just to approach the VFW venue of choice locally, but perhaps even expand your range, get a couple more options?
Yeah, just because they're like, they're you know, they need the money?
Yes, and the answer is yes on all counts. And I've said this before, but every episode somebody's first, and it's been a long time.
Yeah,
I live in a town.
It's been a year we haven't really talked about touring stuff and like booking stuff.
I live in a town where we've done shows on and off for the better part of 20-something years now. I haven't always lived here. Other people have done that, and I'm far from the person who's booked the most shows in this town. Like, not even close. That said, for some years, this venue and that venue do shows. And then that one decides they're not going to do shows anymore. And then it's this one and that one and that one and that one. And it rotates around. It's never bad. This is not relationship roulette. These venues are not exes. You can drunk dial them anytime and see if they want to hook up again. There's no poor form. Hey, yo, it's Bob. I used to do shows there. Was wondering if, there's some bands I want to have them play. I'd love to rent your hall. You good? What's up? You know, like you can always do that, and there's no poor form on it. And if they say no, they say no.
Bob, are you the one? Are you the one that brought in the bands with the horns, or the kid who somebody kicked a hole in the drywall?
You know, ours was the one that was. Do you remember? It was super good. It was smooth.
Oh, how
you got all that money? From my memory, brisk.
You know what, Bob? Why don't you stop by on Thursday? We'll talk about it.
All right, I'll come in Thursday and I'll meet you at the bar. Okay. Boom, 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 boom. If anyone actually is out there and curious about how to talk to people at VFW halls or DAVs, maybe we can do an episode about that, because there is a little bit of an art of it. It isn't that witty repartee that me and Patrick just went through, but there's certain elements that are true. You should always feel comfortable going in there. Maybe using terms like hardcore or metalcore right off the bat isn't the right move, because that sounds a little scary. Yeah, but
guitar music.
Yeah. Oh, it's just, you know, some, if there's things that you can highlight that would sound cool to your mom, dad, aunt, or uncle, like, oh yeah, you know, I actually have some friends from name distant place, be it Northern California, Texas, Massachusetts, or friggin' France. Any of those things might be a positive. Like, oh, that's a they're gonna play our VFW hall here in Rotterdam. Oh, all right. There's all these little things that you should do, but the biggest thing a lot of these places want to do, they just want that money, and they don't want shit broken. If you're gonna pay and you're not gonna break a bunch of shit, you might be good to go. And I think this is the perfect time to do that. Even now, like, yo, everybody, I'm hearing a lot about shows starting September. That seems pretty comfortable to me. Everybody's got to pick when it feels comfortable to them. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, I think, and I'm really largely with that. But like, if you're thinking about that now, if you're like, yo, I'd like to throw a show the first weekend in October, first Saturday in October, whatever, make a call now. They might have a very clear calendar. You might get a great deal. You might not, but you can have that conversation now and start having some nice daydreams. I've been talking to people in bands, telling them like, hey, the past year has been tough. Now might be the time where you can start doing the thing where you get to think about cool shit you're going to do with your band.
Yes. Yes.
And, that's kind of fucking cool. I think both of you are in that boat of like, man, it would be cool to do stuff with our musical projects that have literally just been on the shelf for X amount of months. So
that's a big step. Sure.
And I think, do you think?
No, I was just going to say a little update, everyone. So one of my bands got offered a tour earlier than the other tour that I was offered. And the band hit me back. This sounds dope, but could you inquire on what the odds are that there's any sort of COVID related complications, that maybe shows get shut down, blah, blah, blah. So I went back to the agent, said, what are your thoughts? And the response he gave me, don't hold this as law. This is just what some agents are saying, is LA is the litmus. If LA is reopening, yes, goes to plan, it's all systems go. It's just, hey,
yeah.
Why LA?
I think because LA has been somewhat conservative about this.
Yes.
More than New York?
Yeah. Yeah. So I can't
figure. Like a half step behind New York, half Tom.
Because.
Yeah. Because New York,
you know, you've been stiffer than I thought. Too. I didn't realize that you guys are still like closed. I didn't know that. But we're not supposed to open until June or some shit. And, you know, apparently if it goes well, there's a bunch of booking agents that are all going to be, it's going to be like Wolf of Wall Street. They're all going to be sitting around in the office, like waiting, and then cheer when it opens up.
Yeah. I mean, right now it is full on Braveheart. Hold. And plans are being made. I've talked to some people who, a few actually, so multi-source this, who are like, yeah, you know, I've got a couple things that are ready, but they're not confirmed because we're waiting on a few things. And then another few things that are almost there. And it's almost like they went from being able to do 0% on any of their work to now they're able to do anywhere between 40 and 80%, but they're not able to get to that 100% yet. You know what now, I mean? They're getting to 100% on stuff for next year.
Yes.
But not for the end of this year. Everything the end from September to December is kind of like waiting, and the LA piece is big because Tom exactly what said. One, it's New York, so much more of a focused, New York City is so much more of a focused part than LA. LA's really a county. You know what I mean? And And when you say LA, you really mean mostly Southern California and the region, because there's venues all over the goddamn place.
Tom, you had a question, but I just want to ask you a quick question building on this. How many DMs did you get the other day about my behavior?
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Oh, about the fucking, let me do a question and answer about what I think about the vaccine.
Yes, how many did you get?
A couple.
So everybody...
Hey, Tom.
I was just like, this dumb fuck is like, I don't really believe in it. I mean, I'm going to get it. I'm like, you motherfucker, what do you, stop talking.
Tom, did you send Patrick a question for that? Or
no.
Comment? I did. Patrick, what was my comment? Did you, because you didn't read it, or you didn't repost it, I'll say
no,
that.
No, I read it. It's more, well, I don't want to, you know, let's not get you in.
You can put it out. You can put it out there. My name's
said,
on this.
Well, I don't want to misquote you. Like you said, like more.
Okay.
What'd you say? You made fun of my collar.
More concerning than the vaccine, anything is the collar on your shirt. What the fuck's going on? His collar, Tom, looked like he straight up was like, man, this collar's too restrictive. Let me pull on it till you can see 3/4 of my collarbone. It was like,
oh, that was a deep V. That's like a Saturday Night Live sketch.
Yo, right, and it wasn't even a V-neck. That was a loopy. It was like a.
Since I got this dad bod, I'm about this life now. You guys would be proud of me or not? Maybe I'm a grown man, so you wouldn't be proud of this at all. But I thought I saw somebody that I don't really have very many problems with anybody in life. But I thought I saw somebody that I did, and I'm a non-confrontational person. I'm never looking for a problem, but I beelined it to that person. In the expectation that I was like, all right, let's do this. Turned him around to just a convincing lookalike. But it was funny because we've
you turned the person around.
Oh, no, I came up to them.
Patrick with his shirt collar hanging down to his sternum and sweatshorts is like, hello, sir. Pulled the dude's shoulder and
went full hockey fight.
We've talked about it before. Everybody, this is not me looking for a fight from the one.
Look in Minnesota, feeling Winnipeg over there. Go ahead.
Pat, did you ask me a question and did I not answer it? Or did you ask me a question and answer
it? You answered it. He asked you how many DMs you got about the...
A bunch of folks, you know, from some mutual friends. And they're like... And he's like, what's going on with you guy? And I go, oh, I don't watch these. And I went...
And you said, oh, my friend is reasonable. My friend is a reasonable person.
Don't look at his shirt, though. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, his nipples blare.
I mean, they blare. Whatever. It's just what it is.
I mean, but that just, I was just kind of, he was like, I don't believe in it, and blah, 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 blah. Like,
I didn't believe it. Like,
you were saying things, and like, one person goes like, I fuck up like 85 vaccines a week, and you post that, and then it became like a meme, because you did your bug-eyed thing. And I'm like, that could have literally been one of your fucking idiot punk friends that was just being a dick.
I think that person was being sincere, but I still don't think that's a reason not to get.
Maybe.
Like, I mean, look, Tom, you may have been in this position. Bob, I don't know if you have. Tom, have you ever had to be med certified at a job?
No. I'm certified for naloxone.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's a good one. So I've been med certified at human service jobs.
Oh, to like dole out medications and stuff.
Yeah.
There's a certain amount that you're allowed to fuck up. You know what I mean? Like you get written up. Yeah. Like people are like, oh, hey, I got to make a note of this. The nurse will tell you, hey, I got to make a note of this, but they don't boot you the first one. And the reason for that is because I hate to inform everybody this. Your fucking pharmacists fuck up. Your fucking surgeons fuck up. Everybody fucks up. I worked with a guy who I worked with a guy today who had a hard time doing tie dye. Everybody fucks up. So like,
and how hard is it to fuck up tie dye? It all looks stupid.
You know what, Tom? I might be being a little too. So I'm going to confess. I had like probably my worst whatever. You know, whatever you want to call it, my autism, whatever the fuck. I had my worst. My back was prickly, you know, like when you feel like real anxiety and anger, like where your back feels like it's a little on fire, you know, I had that because a dude wasn't doing it right. And I was getting, and actually, sorry to fucking hijack, Bob, you have worked in a print shop, correct?
Many now, years, yes.
It's a lot like a factory.
It is, yes.
How demoralizing is it when you're like, hey, we got the simplest job in the world and I think this dude can't do it, and what does that say about me? You know what I mean?
I've worked with people who don't know how to fold shirts, like in a way that's clinical, that was like not even fold a shirt like I'm at Urban Outfitters. I mean, like, here's 12 shirts, stack them straight, fold them, you know, baker's dozen here.
And you start to feel like it reflects on you in some way.
Yeah, it's not great. It's a crazy. I liked your description. Well said. It's a crazy feeling. Like, what the fuck's going on here? Quick question for you. Trying to put together context clues. Were you doing your vaccine Instagram story after you got kicked out of Brian Murray's car?
No.
Oh, good question.
Right? It seems like it lined up.
Was that your walk home? No.
That would have lined up nice.
Shame walk. Let me spread some misinformation online.
No, listen.
Yeah, fuck this. If he's gonna, I'm going to take the whole world down.
Here's a rule. Anytime that I am like 2 hours away from home with my phone is on 1%. So I can't do all that fun shit. Like, no exaggeration. Right. I was in Gardena the other day. Am I saying that right? Gardena?
Gardenia.
I was in Gardenia the other day. Needed to get home. It was going to take an hour and a half on the train. I was like, maybe I'll take a bite. And phone is hovering at 1% while I'm like, if I put in an Uber, will this phone even be on when it arrives? Yeah, right. You know what I mean? Like, it's right. It's just any time that I'm in.
That 1% though is so fucking. That shit can last you for an hour.
That's what I learned. But it freaked me out, and I was like, "No, I'll take the train." And I you know, obviously the train was great. I made friends, but it was frustrating because it feels like that's always the circumstance. Always.
If you want to make friends, get on a train with no cell phone. Just you especially in LA, you'll make friends.
Shut up,
Pat. Why don't you just buy like a portable charger?
I'm an idiot, Tom. Shut.
Yeah, I thought about just sending.
Shout out to our listeners who work, let's say, low skill jobs or something like that, like the one that I did this past few days. Shout out to them. I know some of you do it, and people don't really talk about your lives very much because they're not like, that's not interesting work. But I just had like a true working class experience where I was on the, like, I was around people that, you know, like work with their hands every day hard, and then around chemicals, and then because it's at a dye shop, so it's not just me and tie dyeing. But and then rode the public transportation back with what by anybody's definition would be working poor. I was like, damn. Yes. I was like, every day of my life, I go to Whole Foods and I buy a sandwich, and I haven't thought about not buying a sandwich in like 2 years because I haven't been broke for 2 years. And you forget. Shout out to the weirdos like my grandma, who for the rest of her life, she survived the depression. For the rest of her life, she just they gave us 3 sugar packets at the diner. 2 of these are going in my purse. Shout out to those people, because I stopped thinking like that.
You cosplayed real life.
I straight up this week, I cosplayed really as right. a person right. who isn't just like an internet, like the lawnmower man. I pretended not to be the lawnmower man this week.
That famous Saturday Night Live sketch when Eddie Murphy dressed up as the white guy.
Yeah.
That was
and like did like the prosthetics and stuff and like walked through and it was like, this
yeah, that
is
was me. That was literally me in coveralls.
That's right.
Yeah. You're like, this is weird. Like, Oh my God. Like, you know, like that's probably like 75% yes. of the folks that are listening to this yes, right now do that. What you just described as this like alien experience is like, what
I know.
Most
and shout out to them. Cause I realized I want to go back to working 4 hours a day max. And on the internet with looking at YouTube. Yes. Get me back to it.
You're like a 16-year-old kid.
I want to shout out all the people who have simple labor jobs. I hope you find the catharsis in that because you can find some. And also, yo, whenever you hear blue-collar fetishization, it is never real, and it's never about the real shit of like doing the same thing all day, every day, then riding on a bus.
You
want
to hear how
– if you experience it for real – you don't want to do it, and you don't think it's some badge of pride. It's just
exactly.
What you have to
do. Let me say this. This is going to show my fucking privilege. I was like, you know, 5 hours in on like a low skill job, and I was like, yo, this is too long to go without learning something. That's what I thought. How fucking privileged is that? I was like, yo, I haven't read Wikipedia all day. That's what I thought, and I was like, oh, my brain is atrophying. You know what I mean? But there's people that's like my father's uncle, same biscuit factory, 40 years.
Right. Right. Doing the same thing every day.
Oh, it's probably two houses.
Same thing every day. Let's do one last question and close it out. And we'll kind of leave.
I had another question.
Oh, okay.
That was tied into.
Yeah, please.
So we were talking about like, you know, these wild ass like combo, like, you know, bands are going to have to like work together for like some of these crazy co-headliner deals, whatever. I saw my first one that was made public.
Okay.
So a buddy of mine works for one of the bands playing, but it's a two nights. I think it's, hold on. Let me pull this up. Give me 1 second. Please. It's in, it's on the South Dakota State University Brookings campus.
My favorite venue.
Uh-huh.
It's probably a pretty big space. It's on September 8th, 2021. The co-headliner is the Zach Brown Band.
Good start.
Okay.
Which is like what your aunt likes.
Yep.
Main support. Think of a band that could headline a venue, like a pretty, you know, arena-sized venue that would be main support for Zach Brown Band, and you'd go, what?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, Zach Brown Band, like, it sounds like Florida Georgia Line or Halsey. Something. I don't know.
He's like this like fucking chubby dude that plays country music.
Yeah, no idea.
But like plays like, you know, like City Field, like he'll play like where the Mets play. Like he's huge.
Yeah, by the way, this is a stadium. Yes. Dana J. Yeah. Dyke House. Oh, yeah, that's a stadium.
It's an outside stadium.
Yes. Insane.
Main support?
Fuck. Fall
Out Boy. Fuck.
And Fall Out Boy has not fallen off.
No, they're still very
so it's not like they're like they're just trying like Fall Out Boy is still an arena band anyway.
Yeah.
But they are main sport for Zach Brown Band.
Firstly, that's – I don't know what to make of that, honestly. But it's, yo, what is going on with Pete Wentz's photo at Pink's Hot Dogs? Why have no L.A. people taken photos of that before me? What's the reason? Why don't I see that on anybody's Instagram? It's like the funniest fucking photo I've ever seen in my life.
What is it, Pete Wentz at Pink's?
Pete Wentz with the two owners of Pink's, like, hot dogs just, like, under his arm.
He's wearing a hat like Molly Ringwald.
He's got like a pork pie hat.
Yeah.
Where pretty can good. I find this?
Pete Wentz, Pink's hot dog, Google first image. Pete Wentz, quote unquote, Fallout Boy. It's really
so
bad.
Funny that they put Fallout Boy. Like he's the Fallout Boy.
Quotes. Fallout Boy. Fuck.
Oh,
man.
No.
That's really good. I don't know if we can go any further.
Are those can't be real hot dogs?
No, they're not. They're like clay. They're like claymation hot dogs. All right, everybody, check out Pete Wentz, Fallout Boy.
I mean, this will be the new thing after the Todd Morse between two ferns.
Two kerns. Good job. Fuck.
That wasn't me. That was our friend Ryan from Jersey that brought that. I was like, that's a great line.
Shout out, Ryan.
Has Todd weighed in on this yet?
No, we'll have to worry for
that
our.
That dude was just on the cover of like some magazine with the Offspring. Like he's Tom, legit
my,
in the band.
My fucking name rings bells. Just somebody drop him a line.
My name rings bells. I'm going to get to him through Juliette Lewis. What else we got? We got anything else?
I got one question that I will hit you guys with, and then we'll leave it as like a cliffhanger to see. I'll take your answers and then we'll kind of leave it as a cliffhanger. Because I liked, Tom, you gave the sunny side up question of like, is this a good time to book, to go back to the cool venue, the new venue, see what you can get a good deal, whatever, whatever. I'm going to the dark side here. Will there be certain scenes that don't survive COVID?
Music scenes? Like
local
that are stuff, popular or not popular?
No. Yeah. Like hardcore style, like the show's popping off in Albany. You know what I mean?
Adjacent metalcore.
Okay. Well, and I'm also thinking, I'm not just saying music. I'm thinking like localities, like, oh, we used to be able to play Charleston and now Charleston doesn't exist because the people there in New York.
Tom's New right. 100%.
Unless you're playing a fucking 1,000 cap or more.
No, you know what, Tom? I think that the bars in Greenpoint and places like that are going to all do shows, every single one.
I mean, yeah, there's always Vitus.
Shout out to Vitus.
Shout out to Goldie shows. I hope to see some Goldies. Yeah, so think about that. If you're in a place where the people who booked shows maybe don't seem like they're going to be booking shows anymore, maybe it's time for you to start booking shows.
Called up.
Yeah, I mean, now do you...
Called
right, I have another
Go.
Question.
Go.
Sorry. No. Sorry about that.
It happens.
Now that we have questions.
Go.
I'm like the kid that's like, you didn't give us homework.
No, it's good.
I read an article, and I don't know how true this is. So I'm just going to throw it out like Pat does. I'm going to really read one article and I'm just going to be like, this is the truth now. This is what I read and this is real. But that there's like bigger companies swooping in and like buying these like wounded independent venues.
So that's
definitely a thing.
I think it was the Midwest. There was a dude who... okay, this is my understanding, everybody, and Patrick don't listen that well, so take it with a grain of salt. But there was a dude who felt a little slighted by Live Nation, had some money in his pocket, and all the
scooped
a bunch of spots, a bunch of crisis spots. And I have no doubt, listen, people, you got to be cynical. Nobody stands on anything, so he's just going to sell those to Live Nation eventually. But
Yes. Right. It was a good investment now. Yes. So, but still, that said, if you're looking to sell venues to turn a profit, you got to show that they are active and busy, and that might mean time for hardcore shows. Everybody, do what you can. Be good. Talk to you soon.
Peace.